I know Pastor Charles has already mentioned this, but I want to put another plug in. If you like singing or you like listening to this kind of music, this Friday evening, this kind of music will be played, and you can sing along with that. And the praise team will sing and play for a good while. It's just for your pleasure. And if you would be so inclined, we will take up a free will offering to be used for the food shelf. March is food shelf month. And so Friday night, they'll be playing for you. Please come and join us. Today we have very special guests with us, Mike and Vicki Rainin from, well, as Charles said, Indianapolis most recently, but just 1 week ago today, our brother Mike was in Africa. And he will tell you what they do there in just a moment. And as I listen to them in the earlier service, I just get so excited about what God is doing around the globe. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
I get excited to see what He is doing here in our midst and in our communities. And then when I hear about what God is doing, and I know He's at work over there, I'm just not there. But when I hear from Mike and Vicki and see what is happening and hear what is happening, I praise God. He is at work in spite of pandemics and difficulty. He is at work, and I praise God that we get to hear right here in our congregation from time to time from our missionaries. And you all know, most of you have met most of our missionaries now. Mike and Vicki are some that you hadn't met before today. But I thank God for you and the opportunity that they are here with us. So you can see their face, you can hear from their mouth and their hearts, and join us in giving God glory. I'm going to pray for them and for us, and I'm going to turn it over to them. Let's pray. Faithful and loving Father, we praise you this morning for the beauty of this day, the opportunity to come together to worship. We praise you this morning, Father, for how you are at work in people in every tribe, in every language, in every part of the globe. Oh, we give you praise this morning, Father. We love you, Lord. We need you, and we would invite your Spirit to continue to lead us in our worship service this morning, but beyond. Continue to lead us, Father, to a closeness to you, to be used by you, to surrender completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be led by your Spirit, O God, and to be used by you in everyday living. Thank you, Father, for all that have come this morning. Thank you for watching those that are on our prayer focus and those that have hurt, those that have struggled, those that have lost loved ones. Thank you for watching over them. Please continue to do so. Please continue to give us, your church all over the globe, eyes to see the harvest fields are indeed ripe. Give us hearts of compassion to be used of you, O God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you see and hear. Thank you for Mike and Vicki. Thank you for the work that you are doing through people like them in Africa. Bless them, Father, this morning as they share. We commit this time to you. Lead us by your Spirit for the glory of God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please welcome this morning Mike and Vicki Rainin.
Good morning, and thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jim, for giving us an opportunity to share, and it is our pleasure to bring a few words to you today that we trust will glorify the Lord and will encourage your hearts, and we hope will also help you see how your partnership is a fruitful one. So, just to give you a little introduction to Vicki and myself, our first missionary assignment was actually in Japan. for 2 years, and then the Lord started to work, and by surprise, we would both say, got us going in the direction of Africa. So we served for 7 years in the country of Nigeria, then back in the U.S., served in pastoral ministry for about 6 years in Indianapolis. After that, we returned to service in missions, but at that time we both took on new responsibilities. They asked me to serve as area director and Vicky to serve in a larger capacity with international child care ministries. So as area director, I'm a supervisor of our Africa missionary team, which isn't a very big team. And then also I am supervisor to currently the development of the church in 8 countries that is where they're working to get to the level of what you might call annual conference. So there are a number of years that it usually takes to kind of grow and to get organized for that. So I work with country leaders, especially in 8 countries and in a lesser capacity with a few others. And Vicky has worked in ICCM for all these years, but in the last few years has started to pass some of the countries under her supervision to other leaders. And now a total of four people have taken over that ICCM work, and she now focuses on a couple of specific ministries and is engaged in several ways with people's lives in Africa. So she'll tell you some about that. But what we would like to share with you today, by way of report and to honor what God is doing, is along the theme of rich generosity. And you'd be right to think that that's a great missionary theme, because you're probably here to raise money. But that is not why we're here. The reason for that theme is because we have seen what we think Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Corinthians and mentioned rich generosity. And we have seen that in Africans, and we want to share it with you so that you'll rejoice with us. Let me read, please, from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did so not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part, just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. So, from Paul's letter to the Corinthian people, and he's writing to them about their part in a giving campaign. Really, it had to do with the poor saints in Jerusalem. It would be today what we would call crisis relief. The saints in Jerusalem were in such distress because through the various things they had experienced, they were just at a very low point in ability to care for themselves. And so churches were rallying to help them out. And Paul was working with the Corinthians because they had started to say, yeah, we want to give to that, but they hadn't actually followed through. So he uses that as an example, the Macedonian churches, and tells just briefly their story that they weren't even people who had anything to give. And remarkably, they wanted to give. They said, please, let us give. And Paul's thought was, what do you have to give? And yet, he says, they went even beyond what they were able. So that happens by God's grace. I don't think any of us can claim to say, you know, before I was a Christian, I was the most generous person you could ever find. I doubt that. And if you find a person who doesn't know the Lord and they're generous, you can find people like that, but in our Wesleyan theology, we would account for that by God's grace. It's still God's grace that brings about a good thing like that in somebody's life. So that's what was at work here. And three times Paul referred to the grace of giving. So in view of that grace, Vicki and I, in our working with people in Africa, think that we've actually spotted that same grace at work in people's lives. And it's exciting, it's gratifying to us. So my story for you about this grace comes about with the beginning of the Wesley Missionary Institute. This photo was taken in 2016 when we bought the land that you see this fellow standing on. His name is Dose. He's my best friend in Africa and ministry colleague. And I have a lot of good friends in Africa too, so I don't want to, you know, be unfair to others, but I work the most with Dose. So in the country, in the years leading up to 2016, the Lord had started to open an additional country and an additional country to Free Methodist work in West Africa, and then another country. Altogether, there's been about five new countries to us, to the Free Methodist family, that have opened up for ministry in West Africa. And so as those started opening up, we were excited about it, but then we realized what Jesus said was true. The fields are ripe for harvest, but the workers are few. And the particular workers that we need in those contexts are not simply pastors. We do need pastors, but we need missionaries. And when I say a missionary in this case, I mean someone who has developed skills to work cross-culturally. So, again, I'm not talking about someone from North America going there as a missionary, but Africans working as missionaries among Africans. It could easily be a question, why do Africans have to be trained to reach Africans? Well, in some ways they don't, but in other ways they do, because most of us naturally find within ourselves a sense of, these are my people and they are not my people. And to greater or lesser extents, that sometimes can be a real separation. So there's a real need to overcome some barriers between your own culture and someone else's, and to develop skills for reaching people who are from a different culture than your own. So that's why we came to the conclusion that the Lord was giving us a chance to open a missionary training school. So we bought this land, and we put up a security wall around it, and then we ran into a few delays. For a little over 2 years, we were unable to move forward with our construction, but in 2019, we were able to put up our first two buildings. And our first two buildings look about like you see them there. And once the buildings were up, partway through 2019, my colleague Dose said, "Mike, I think we could bring the students on campus and start our first class of students." And I told him, "You know, we could. I'm open to that, even though the campus isn't all that ready for students. But we don't have the scholarships we need to be able to feed those students when they come. And I don't want to send out emergency newsletters saying, hey, we got students, but we can't feed them." So he said, "Okay, that makes sense." So we waited some months, and then in 2020, he said, "Mike, I think we could open the school. Why don't we bring the students on campus and get going?" Same story. I said, "Dose, we've only got 4 of the 10 scholarships that we need funded." And I just feel like we need to have our scholarships before we bring the students to the campus. He said, okay. So, Dose is a pastor who from time to time goes on a prayer retreat. Sometimes he takes his church leaders, sometimes he goes alone. He went on a prayer retreat. This was in the second half of last year. And we were in the States and he was over there in Togo. And when he finished his retreat, we were talking together on Zoom, and he said, Mike, the Lord has put it on my heart to open the school by faith in January. And as soon as he said it, I knew he was right, and that's what we needed to do. My approach had been an approach that has some value. We do want to be wise and not jump into something that we know we can't fund. But at the same time, that's not the whole picture. We follow a living Lord, and sometimes he says, trust me. So I said, okay, we're doing it. So that was our new game plan. We were going to open in January, and we didn't make any extra appeals for the scholarships. We didn't say, hey, now we're going to open. We got to have these. We didn't do that, but all the scholarships were in by January or February. I think nine and a half were funded by January. And there has not been any problem with our ability. The Lord has provided everything that has been needed for those scholarships. So the school opened in January, and you see our students gathered there. The upper picture shows the celebration in the church in Lomé. Lomé is the capital in Togo, and they celebrated when the first students had arrived. You gotta love the the arrival of these students who will be trained as missionaries. One of them came from Sierra Leone to Liberia, so that's one international border. He meets up with a married couple in Liberia who are also coming to the school, so the three of them travel from Liberia to Sierra Leone. They meet up with another married couple there, and the five of them then travel to Togo. That's quite a good missionary journey to start with. Then we had a fellow coming from Cameroon across Nigeria, and four students from Nigeria. So all of them assembled on the campus, and they're getting their orientation in the second picture that you see there. So all that came together in January and classes started. So you need to know that about 3 years before this, in our planning for the school, we thought, okay, if we train students as missionaries with the plan that these are people who are going to work in a different culture, we don't want them to get trained, return to their home countries, and maybe because of an urgent need for a church to have a pastor, they get put in as a pastor of a church in their own culture. That cross-cultural training would, in a sense, be wasted. So we said, let's help the country leaders become the best mission leaders they can be. So we formed an organization among our West Africa country leaders called West Africa Mission Alliance. So now we're all together on doing mission. We brought them together once a year over those 3 years to provide training in missions-mindedness, let's call it. And we brought them together again for a fourth time this last month, February. And this time, they got to meet with their students on campus, which was a great day for them, for the students, and for the leaders, and for us. So a short while before this photograph was taken, we were sitting in the classroom that's right behind them. And the students were in their seats. The leaders were seated in chairs across the front of the classroom. And it was a good African meeting. So each of the leaders got a chance to stand up and say something to the students. And then there was a chance for the students to speak. And they actually ended up simply speaking through their class president. a man who is named Sekala. So Sekala thanked everybody, appreciated them, and then sat down. But then Pastor Dose, who you could call him the director of the school, said, Sekala, I think you should share with your leaders, that is, with the country leaders, what the needs are that you told me about. Share that list with them. So he got up again and shared with the country leaders some of the needs that their students have on campus. Our scholarship provides for their food and all the basic things that are needed, but there are some personal needs, you know, if you need to get a haircut and things like that, you need some money for it. So Sekala shared about those needs and some of the things they thought needed to be done on the campus, and we thanked them, and then that part was over. Well, the subject that we had brought these leaders together to study this time around, this fourth session of West Africa Mission Alliance, was what it means to be a sending church. We're training a missionary for them. We want them to be a sending church when they get their missionary back. And of course, that's going to involve some support of that missionary. We're also training them to be self-supporting missionaries, so they'll be a tent maker, as we sometimes say. But they're going to need support from their home church or churches. And so we talked about that subject. Now, the next day from this meeting, we were all sitting around the table talking again about that list from the students. And Dose and I, as leaders of the school, said, well, there are several things like this. In the dormitory, the floor is cement, but it doesn't have the top surface put on there, so it's rough and it's dusty. And they said, man, the wind comes blowing in and blows into our rooms, and that needs to be finished. We said, that's true. We need to finish that. So we will take care of that. That's on the school. And there were a few other things that we said, that really is the school responsibility. But about this little student stipend, that the students have personal needs, what do you guys think about that? So we tossed it to the group, and they talked about it for a while and said, well, we don't know how we can do anything about that. But then others said, you know, we should. There are students. And you guys are funding a scholarship. You guys being, let's say, friends in North America who support the scholarships. And they ended up saying, we will take responsibility for the student scholarships. The student stipends, $20 a month. So Nigerian conferences, Cameroon, Liberia, Ivory Coast, they all agreed, we're going to do this. We don't know how we're going to do it, but we're committed to $20 a month to support the personal needs stipend for our student. That's amazing. That is fantastic. And it's amazing, I think I would feel free to say, even if my Nigerian brothers and sisters or any of my African brothers and sisters were here, their churches barely support their pastors. It's not easy to get funding support, and yet they said, we're ready to do it. And to me, that's God's grace at work. And perhaps like the Corinthians, Paul had to, you know, nudge them to say, let's keep going with what has started. We'll keep working with these West African churches, and we may need to encourage them to follow through, but it's the grace of God that has put this thing in motion and will bring it to completion. So one fellow was not there who has two students there from his country, the Liberian leader, Rufus. And he wasn't there because he had some school responsibilities in his own country, because he's a student also. And I was going to his country after this meeting. So when I got to his country, I said, Rufus, here's what we talked about of the being a sending church, and particularly what we talked about regarding our students at the school. And everybody agreed to to support $20 a month. So what do you think about the Liberia Church? Do you think you guys can rise up to that? So we talked some about it, and he said, yeah, we will do it. And then we had their annual conference meeting, and Rufus took it to the floor, presented it. They talked it over, had the same sort of discussion, like, how are we going to do that? But Rufus said, we need to do it. Those are our students there. And everybody agreed. So they're committed to it. So twice I got to see it happen. And praise the Lord that God's grace is at work in our brothers and sisters in a context so different from our own. And yet that same grace is saying, be a part of giving. Give like our Heavenly Father gives to us. So praise the Lord for rich generosity. And Vicki's going to share some of the rich generosity she has seen.
Okay, first, before I start to share about some things that I are engaged in, I want to tell you two things. One, Mike and I, if you're in the back at our table, we have a little gift for you because we want what we say to stick with you, okay? There's a little guy. He's about this high. He's got a mask on. You can social distance and reach out. But on the top of his head are some magnets from Africa, magnets about Africa. They're from the U.S., but they're about Africa. And there's some Kenyan tea in there and some candy from Africa as well. And this is just a little gift that we want to give to you. And so you'll remember that we were here. And next time, it probably won't be 20 years, Pastor, before we come back. The second thing I want to say is I hope that you will remember Ashley Carroll. Ashley came over a couple years ago, and you supported Ashley to come to Kenya. Mm-hmm. Now, Mike and I, when we were living in Kenya, Ashley came over. She met us at General Conference way back, came over to Kenya, lived with us for 4 months. And during that time, since that God was calling her to go back to Kenya to work with a group of young women called the Thrive Ladies in a discipleship group. And Ashley connected with Set Free and went back and was there for a year training these young women in how to raise awareness about human trafficking and gender-based violence, how to protect yourself from those kinds of issues. And I just wanted to give you a quick update, not necessarily about Ashley, but this weekend, four of those Thrive women went to one of our rural villages where our Free Methodist Church is at in Kenya and met with 67 children from the ages of maybe 13 up to 17 and gave them training about how to protect themselves from human trafficking. And you might wonder, is that really an issue there? Well, let me tell you, this morning I got an email or a text message that in Newark, New Jersey, just this weekend, a woman was convicted 20 plus years, her sentence may be at least 20 years, for bringing young girls from Togo and Ghana to New Jersey to work in hair salons. Human trafficking right there, you know. And I send a message back saying, oh, we have to figure out how to get Set Free to Togo now. But that's what the Thrive Women ladies are doing in Kenya, helping youngsters, young women, young boys to know how to avoid getting in situations like that, okay? Anyway, thank you for supporting Ashley, because if mm-hmm. Ashley hadn't been there for that year, these girls wouldn't have been able to do the training that they did just yesterday. Now, I have a question for you. How many of you have ever learned a second language? German, I'm not going to make you speak it. Don't worry. Just want to know. Now, how many of you who haven't have ever thought, oh, I want to or I should? Don't get nervous. Okay. Now, how many of you are willing and brave enough to learn at least one Swahili word today? Can we say yes? Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you, it's very easy. To.
My.
E. Ni.
Ni.
To my ini. So if you're learning Swahili, you'll learn to run some of that together. To my ini. Tumaini, okay? Tumaini is a Swahili word, and it means hope, okay? So we have a ministry in Kenya, Free Methodist Ministry, called Tumaini Women Kenya, Hope for Women in Kenya. Now, this ministry focuses on forming groups in our local Free Methodist churches to help our Kenyan women figure out how to meet Kenyan challenges by Kenyan or African solutions, okay? So my involvement with this ministry, I've been involved with them for over 10 years, but this was not my idea. This was something they came up with and asked me to be on their board and to help them with. But this ministry focuses on these groups coming together to encourage, to support one another, to hold them accountable, and to help them figure out how to deal with life challenges. Now, one of those challenges that you might well imagine is how to have income. You know, how to have money that meets the needs of my family just in normal times, and how to have funds to meet needs during times of crisis. One of the ways we do that is by a program called Table Banking, okay? Now, it's exactly what you're thinking. If you're thinking that we pull up a table and do transactions, that's what it is. Once a month, the women will meet. There's someone who helps coordinate the program, but they bring money for savings, and after they have saved, they are able to take out a loan. Now, honestly, if you've heard anything about African church services, you know we can go for hours. I'm not going to do that, Pastor Jim. I could talk about this for hours, though, because of the transformation I've seen happen in the lives of women and men. The women, and let me say why men, it's called Tumaini Women Kenya. The Kenyan government has a law saying that whatever group is formed, at least 30% of the group must be represented by the other gender. We don't mind that we have men in these groups because they're saving. And they're saving for their families. They're saving for their futures. So we are like, oh, come on in. We're okay with that. We're not going to change our name, but you're welcome to come in. So one of the most important details about this program is that every member has to save for 6 months before they can take out their first loan. Now, their first loan is based on what they have saved. So if they've saved a lot, then they can take out a loan for a bigger amount. They have to pay the loan back within a year. And while they're paying the loan back, they're also continuing to save. Okay? And if I'm a member of the group, I can't take a loan without someone in my group signing for me. So they keep each other accountable because I don't want you to have to pay my loan. So they keep each other accountable in making the payments. And just so you know, our payback rate is over 90%. Over 90%. I love talking about this program. I'll tell you, because of access to these loans, we have had members who have been able to grow their own businesses. We've had members who have been able to invest in their own education and therefore be employed. And we've had members be able to improve their become, instead of just being a seller, becoming someone who supplies to other sellers. Now, let me tell you these quick stories. We have Harriet, who started her own used clothing business. Over here, we have Irene. Irene started going for education to be a teacher, but she ran out of money, had to stop, was able to save money, take a loan. She's been employed as a teacher for about 4 years now. And then we have Jane. Jane sells sugarcane. And Jane was selling sugarcane, cutting it, growing it, cutting it, and selling it herself, and having to go to the river to get water to be able to keep her crops growing. Because of saving and taking loans through TWK, she was able to buy two, not one, but two water tanks, okay? And now Jane doesn't sell sugarcane on the street. She sells it to others who sell it on the street. So she has gone from just a street side vendor to supplying other people. These are fantastic stories of how members' lives are being changed by having access to safe loans, a safe place to save money and to have access to loans. You know, one of the reasons it has really worked is because when women have money in their pocket, and even men, if a family crisis happens, even if that money is supposed to pay for school fees, it's used on the family crisis. If someone in my extended family comes and asks me for money, culturally, I'm obligated to give. But when it's in our savings, they don't have access to it. It's safe. It's put away so that when they're ready to use it for to develop their own business or their own education, it's there for them. There are many stories like that I could tell you where it works really well, and it's success after success. But we also are grateful for the fact that Tumaini has been able to help when situation isn't quite as rosy. Let me introduce you to Mary. This is Mary and her daughter. Mary's story is a little bit different than most. Mary joined Tumaini in 2016. And by that time, she was already a widow with three daughters. When her husband passed away, Mary's his family forced her to leave her home that her and her husband had built. They no longer accepted her or her daughters because Mary had never had a son. And in that particular tribe, sons were valuable. And if you didn't have a son, then you didn't have anything to add to the family. So they forced Mary and her girls to leave. Mary didn't have anywhere to go except back to the rural home of her father, which again is something that culturally never should happen. Once you've left the home, you don't normally go back to even spend the night in your mother's home. It's just a cultural thing that they don't do. But Mary went back to the home where her father was. She was able to do some farming and selling, and she joined TWK. Once she joined TWK and started saving money, her hope was that she would be able to save enough to just buy a little piece of land and put up a little home that she could call her own. So for several years, Mary saved. She took out a small loan, paid it back, saved more, took out a bigger loan, and finally, she was able to buy a piece of land. Actually, let me tell you what she did. She put a down payment on it, okay? When she did that, she was able to build a little home for herself, live there while she continued to pay off the property. And that was fabulous. Mary had a place of her own. Unfortunately, Mary got sick. And once Mary got sick, she was unable to continue to work. TWK has a risk fund. We try to take into all consideration everything that could possibly happen. Once a year, every member is required to give one donation to the risk fund. It's like an insurance policy, so that if any of our members become too sick to work and unable to pay their loans, then the risk fund will cover that loan. That way, they're no longer obligated. If a member dies, we are able to take money from the risk fund and pay off their loan so that the family doesn't feel the burden of paying off something that their mother or father borrowed. Now, this was very good news for Mary because her girls, even though they tried to help her, they weren't able to continue making her loan payments or her savings. But the risk fund was able to clear Mary's debt with TWK. Sadly, Mary didn't improve. Her health didn't improve, and early last year, she passed away. Now, her girls didn't know what to do because they were afraid they were going to lose the land that their mother had bought because she had only paid a down payment. That's where the rich generosity of Mary's group members come in. They, of their own free will, took from their savings and added to what little savings Mary had left. They were able to pay off that land completely. So now her daughters are able to live in the house, really, that Mary built. Now, for those of us who have health insurance or life insurance, the impact of this story might be lost a little bit on us. But for Mary, who was kicked out of her home, who didn't know where she would live, to be able to live on a piece of land that was her own and leave it as a legacy for her children was something that Mary could never have imagined without the Lord's help and without Tumaini Women Kenya. That's what we're about. That's what we want to do. Give women and men hope to know that something like this can actually happen. I love talking about Tumaini Women Kenya. We have a board in Kenya and we have a board in the U.S. As I was preparing or reviewing my presentation this morning, though, I also remembered two other stories that I don't have pictures for, but want to tell you about very quickly. The lady who had the water tanks, her name is Jane. We went to visit Jane at her home, and I learned that Jane, after she had taken out the loans for the water tanks, took out another loan because her church was getting ready to do a construction project. So she took out a loan so she could buy material for the church construction project, not even for her own business. That's generous. That's richness, rich generosity. I had to bring that up to the bishop. I told the bishop in Kenya, do you see what your members are doing? When they feel the church loves them and cares for them, then they generously give back to the church. Another story was, there's one of our pastors, Pastor Solomon. Pastor Solomon told me he took out a loan to buy a motorcycle, and it was going to be a motorcycle taxi, okay? And in fact, he actually ended up at one point having three motorcycle taxis so that not only was he employed, but he was able to employ two other people. But I never ride motorcycles, but I said, okay, I got to ride on this motorcycle. We were in the village. There was no traffic around, so Pastor Solomon took me from one of our churches to another church, and on that ride, he said, Vicki, when my father died, he left nothing. He didn't have anything for any of his children. I don't want to be like that. I want to leave something for my kids. And he said, I believe the Lord wants me to teach my people about loving and following Jesus, but he also wants me to teach them how to be responsible with their funds, how to prepare for the future. Now, I also learned that Pastor Solomon, when he takes out a loan, he tithes on it before it ever makes one Kenya shilling. The tithe comes off first on his loan. That's rich generosity. That's what God's grace is leading our men and women in TWK to do. And we celebrate 10 years next year. We're hoping to take over board members from TWK to have a huge celebration. We believe that God has a lot more in store for us. And I'm thankful to be able to see the transformation that this is making in the lives of our men and women in the Free Methodist Church in Kenya.
So it's just our hope that maybe this morning you've marveled in a new way about the grace of God that brings about rich generosity. And again, we want to say thank you to you for your partnership that helps us to be involved in these kind of things and have a chance to see it happening in people's lives firsthand. So I'd like to just offer a prayer of thanks to God for what he's been doing. Dear Lord, we praise you. It's a privilege to declare these testimonies, which are testimonies giving glory to you, the way your grace works, and we understand from our knowledge of what Christ has done for us that it's you who have the rich generosity that really can't even be fully understood, and yet it brings about changes in our lives and ambitions to give at times, even when we don't even have what seems to be resources that from which we could give. And we thank you for our African brothers and sisters who are displaying such rich generosity. Thank you also, Lord, for the partnership that you have given to Vicki and me and Tom and Sherry and Ashley and others through this church. Thank you for the rich generosity truly that has been and is displayed here. Please continue your work. And Lord, would you continue to be glorified by what you're doing around the world, and we'll be glad to be witnesses of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
We appreciate your support and prayers for Mike and Vicki. And would you be comfortable with coming forward? We'd like to lay hands, since it's your final service with us today. To those feeling comfortable, we'd like to come up and lay hands on Mike and Vicky. For those who just reach your hands out, come and lay hands on him and Vicky, and come and pray as we just reach your hands out as we pray for their journey ahead. Heavenly Father, all glory and honor and praise to you. We worship you, we love you, we adore you, we glorify you and lift up your holy name. What a blessing you are to Mike and to Vicky. You have always worked before them. You've come up behind them. You have walked with them along this journey. The stories of starting in Japan, moving to America, and reaching out now to Africa. Father, we see the results of obedience to do as you have called. Father, we ask an overwhelming blessing upon Mike and Vicky as in their soul, in their minds, in their hearts, that you would love them through the results of the fruit in which is being born through the efforts. Even through the things they may not see, the things that may cause wonder and awe, Father, may it all be to your glory. Send them forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. May your angels go before them in a pathway of safety to protect them. Continue to blind the eyes of the enemy. May the fruit be just powerful to those, and may the curiosity of all that is going on in Africa stir the hearts to bring those who need to hear this message. Grant them safety, grant them success, but most importantly, receive all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.